This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. This is our feature review for you. Actually, two reviews. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. And Wayne is quite correct. We are giving you two mini reviews of two horror films. Dropped in the last month or so. One which Wayne got along to.
Amazingly.
Which we'll do second. That's Brightburn.
Brightburn.
And one which Wayne bitched out of yet again. And left me alone to review Annabelle Comes Home.
So I couldn't be happier about the decision.
Let's start with Annabelle Comes Home then, the more recently released 2019, obviously, horror film in the Conjuring universe.
Oh, the Conjuring!
Third Annabelle film, and overall, if I'm not mistaken, the sixth film in this particular universe.
Okay.
Last year you did see The Nun, it was a piece of shit.
It was a piece of shit!
We'll see how this one fares by comparison. It received mixed reviews from critics and has grossed about, thus far, 90 mixed. Million worldwide. Uh-huh. Off a budget of 27 to 32 million as the estimates go.
Oh, that seems all right.
That's a success.
That's fine.
All of these Conjuring films are a success. If James Wan dabs his toe in around because he's a producer here, they tend to go well. This one is written and directed by Gary Dauberman, who has written a bunch of the other ones, including The Nun last year, as a bigger piece of shit as that was. It's 106 minutes long, and it stars very small roles for Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga.
Oh, yeah.
And then McKenna Grace. Madison Iceman and Katie Sarif are the girls who are involved because this film, you can't give me the plot summary because you haven't seen it.
But I'd like you to give it to us.
Oh, here it is then. So this is the Warrens bring home Annabelle, the doll which was established at the start
tell me about it. Yep,
the Conjuring film. And we get a little bit of a cold opening with them bringing the doll home and how demonstrates how it acts as a cipher for spirits. Spirits are attracted to this doll.
Are they putting it in their little basement or attic or
into
whatever
their
with all
little
that
museum?
Shit? Yeah. Okay.
But there's a little pretty shitty, I have to admit, opening where they're in a car and break down next to a cemetery. Of course they do, and there's a couple of scares. Then they put it away in this church window glass cabinet to keep it.
I know if it's the same one.
It's exactly the same one. Yeah, it's much more horror. Looking in the film that is in real life, where it's just a Raggedy Ann doll.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You can't make that shit on the screen, man.
And then they head off on another case and they leave their 10-year-old daughter alone with a babysitter, Mary Ellen, who's, you know, the wholesome blonde girl next door type.
Parents of the year.
Yep. Leaving for the weekend, effectively. And the daughter is Judy. We've seen her in one of the
films, yeah. They've had a daughter before, yep.
Judy has the same gift that her mum has, so she can see spirits and the like.
Bugger.
And is not fitting in well at school. So we get all that kind of stuff. And Mary Ellen is a lovely girl who generally has Judy's best interest at heart. Her best friend comes rocking around as well, Daniela. And Daniela is fascinated by all this creepy shit.
Mm.
And when she hears about all the stuff that the Warrens have locked away, lets herself in and starts to mess with shit, including letting Annabelle out of her cage.
Bitch.
Ghosts. Visions, terrifying things ensue for the three girls.
Is it good?
Look, overall, Annabelle Comes Home is not bad.
Really? Hmm. No, you saw the original one, of course.
Seen them all.
All right, so how was the first one?
The first Annabelle's terrible.
Shit out, right?
Absolutely.
I've heard this.
The second Annabelle, which is the origin explanation for what Annabelle is and how it comes to be, isn't bad at all.
Okay.
And this one is probably on par, pretty close to that one. Maybe not quite as good. Because this one isn't playing with a full set of teeth, if I can put it that way.
Huh?
This is as close as you're going to get to a teenager-y film in the Conjuring universe.
Oh, is that so?
There's very little stakes here other than these three girls. There's very little, no violence in this movie at all.
Thankfully.
There's implied violence, certainly, and there's a couple of very effective scares, the best one of which really calls back to The Conjuring 2, where the nun walks around the wall.
That's the best bit. That's like one of the best scenes in these movies.
There's a scene in this that harkens back to that.
Okay.
And there is a bit of tension. There is a bit of atmosphere. And they really take the time to set up these three girls. So all three of them are well-rounded characters. And you empathize / connect with all of them. All
right.
Even
that's good.
The nosy Parker bitch has a good reason for being a nosy Parker bitch.
Not bad. Now, what I'm actually wondering is, in my head, this is a Chucky movie. It's not, is it?
No, because Annabelle doesn't move on her own at all.
So she does it. So it's not some doll running around killing people.
As I said, she's a cipher, which means she attracts all these other ghosts. And so when Daniela goes in and touches and unleashes Annabelle, all the other cursed objects and haunted objects, they all come to life and start moving around through the house, and the spirits start moving through the house, aiming to get the kids.
How are they manifested?
In various ways. I don't want to spoil. This will be a non-spoiler review altogether. However, this is where it kind of goes wrong. It goes over the top. Like there's a little bit of a funny love interest played by the boy across the road. He's nice enough and the fourth character, if you will, in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
However, what he faces is so ridiculous and out of nowhere, it's really hard to buy into.
Oh, yeah.
So it goes too far with that.
Bad writing decision, yep.
Yeah, really needed that whole bit to be cut, but they had to find ways to separate the four characters and have them experience their own terrors each.
Oh, okay.
And that's yeah, kind of what's going on
yep,
there.
Yep, different path.
It's 110 minutes long, and arguably this film is too long.
Oh, yeah, it sounds long.
Probably should have been 10, 15 minutes shorter, but that said, a lot of that time is dedicated to setting up the characters so you care. So it's a little, it's a balance. It's not quite right.
110.
But it's not, tough, but not right. Terrible at all. I know that some other people haven't liked this one because I thought it was too toothless. There wasn't enough stakes. It doesn't really do much except pad out the gap between Conjuring 2 and Conjuring 3. That's probably a fair criticism. But overall, I enjoyed it. The guy next to me was jumping a bit. There was a few gasps and screams through the cinema. Okay. It was very busy when I saw it. Very busy. It only had 3 sessions a day.
Geez, so, I didn't bank on it.
No, the last session of the day, therefore, was really busy because everyone had to wait, sort of, as everyone after work coming into this particular one.
Geez, that's weird.
So, look, overall, it's a recommend. I didn't love the shit out of it, but it's absolutely fine. And what I think has been the worst year for horror in a long, long time so far, I know we're only halfway through, this one is up towards the top of a really shit bunch of films.
Okay, well, that's something, I guess.
Yeah, it's a bit better than Pet Sematary, if you want to put it in that context. So,
okay.
I'd give this one.
Not hard.
Yeah, I'd give this one a sort of 60 flat.
That's good. I'm serious. That actually is good for you, though.
Yeah, like I said, it was not, pretty good. It could have been better. Certainly could have played for more stakes, but I'm glad that, in a way, because I like these characters and I'm glad the way it went.
Okay. All right.
That's it for Annabelle Comes Home. There's your recommendation. Take it or leave it. Let's go back in time a little bit to a film Wayne did see.
That's right.
Brightburn.
No, I'm not as good at but this like
give us the plot synopsis first, and then I will give you the vital statistics after that.
Excellent. That's a great solution. Okay, here we go. Brightburn is essentially an Elseworlds Superman story, okay? Except they couldn't say Superman because it's Sony and whatnot and whatnot, all right? But basically what happens is exactly the same things that happen in Superman happen in Brightburn. From the sky, this alien rocket ship crashes to Earth in this, you know, sort of Kansas-y type area, and there's these kindly sort of ma and pa, or mom and dad, younger mom and dad, who find the rocket inside as a baby from another planet and shit.
We assume. Well, I guess it has to be, yeah.
That's right. They decide to raise it as their own, and the kid grows up and has powers.
Yeah, we get a montage.
So
to bring it up to, what is he, 12, 13?
Yeah, I'd say 12, 13. And he grows up, and it becomes apparent that he can do amazing things, and they're like, wow. But of course, then the movie asks the question, what if Superman was evil? The kid ends up being a complete cunt. So
give or take.
More or less.
All right, well, that's the basic plot synopsis here, The Vile Statistics. It's directed by David Yarovsky, who did a film, straight to video one, a little way back, called The Hive, which was really average. This is written by Brian Gunn and Mark Gunn, who I believe are James Gunn's brother and cousin.
Yeah,
is
sounds
that
about
sound
right.
about right? Of course, James Gunn is one of the producers. How much do you reckon this movie was made for, Wayne?
Well, it was off key. It's only Elizabeth Banks, really. How about 40?
$6 million.
Oh.
Which is pretty impressive.
And really?
I have to say, factored into my overall
that kicks
film.
Things up a little some, I must say.
Yeah, it stars, as you mentioned, Elizabeth Banks, David Denman from the US Office, I believe. Jackson A. Dunn plays Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry. Brandon is the name of the child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny, by the way. Because Brandon is the name of one of the actors who played Superman.
Are they really going that meta?
I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know.
Who? Oh, Brandon.
Brandon Ralph.
Ralph.
Yeah,
Ralph.
Yeah. They can call him Christopher. Yeah, fair enough.
90 minutes long, and it has taken $31.3 million around the world. So again, it's a success.
Amazing.
A bit of a preview there. I don't know. There is a couple of spoilers you can give away. Let's just steer clear of those, and we'll just talk generally about the film.
Okay, fine.
Obviously, I liked this more than you did.
So you liked this one, did you?
I didn't mind it.
All right. I was very curious about that. Now, first of all, I saw this cinema, which was, it's called the Girls' School Cinema in Perth. And it's a really cool old massive mausoleum of a fucking building. And you go in there. It's really cool. It's all beanbags and like colored lights and shit. But it's also very haunty and dark. And the toilet is in a very dark corridor. Anyway, I saw this horror movie in that place. Right?
Did it add to the experience?
It probably did. It was very cold. So I was like rugged up. Right? So anyway, I'm watching it. It's all... Well, what I would say about this film is that I was expecting, when you hear about this is a Superman gone wrong type fucking situation, I'm like, oh, well, how about a interesting deconstruction of what it means to be Superman and choosing good versus evil? Maybe it's that thing. That's not
this film.
Did you not
watch the trailer?
No, that's fine. It's fine. Okay. The trailer can still be that. Absolutely. But I watched it and I'm like, oh, no, it's none of those things. It's just a horror. It's just a straight horror.
Yeah. And if anything, I think the marketing of the trailer certainly gives you the impression people are going to die. And die
absolutely.
They do.
No doubt.
But if anything, this is a straightforward horror. The Superman thing, the superhero setup. It's just a vehicle.
It's set up. Here it is. Boom. And my problem with the movie is that it's like I could have actually done with this being, I guess, because it's a superhero movie. I was expecting something superhero-ish about it, but it was just a horror with, like you said, an excuse for the superhero frame to be the thing. I would rather have seen the kid, you know, let's say he goes. And he hurts someone, right? But then in his head, it's justified because, you know, whatever, it's some reason. Then he hurts someone else and he still justifies it. The third time, you know, something, it would have been like this nuanced thing that made him, you're not sure if he's going to go good or evil, then he goes evil, then it goes horrible. I could have used that. This, he was just a cunt. He just turned into a bit of a cunt and he became a big cunt.
Well, well, yes, except the film heavily basically says that he was called to this.
Yes, but what was that? Like, why does he... What did the thing say to him? It said...
we don't know what it said.
It said some shit to him, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Some shit like that, right? Why? Who's invading it? Give me something, right? Like, it was just like... It's just... Again, it was all just an excuse for him to go fuck shit up. So...
Take the world,
exactly. Yep. Why you want to take the world? Who? Who are you? Give me something, man.
I would imagine that would be explored in future movies.
Well, not if it's not touted in here. Basically, you just hear about this little bitch like cracking shit up, right? And then it's all like, take the world. It's like, if I was going to do a sequel to this movie, there would be some... Basically, it'd basically be Superman, right? It'd basically be the Superman story. Like, the hero that comes rises up to fight this thing.
Right.
Would be Superman. So, I don't know that it's going to go anywhere, but by the sounds of this, the box office take, it probably will.
Well, it's quite possible, as long as I can keep the budget under 10, that they go around again. But I don't know. 31.3 million is not exactly awe-inspiring.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, that was a good story. You got something else? No, I'm doing Guardians of the Galaxy. Okay, I'll see you later then.
Well, that's James Gunn. I would imagine he'd leave this alone now that his brother and his cousin or whatever else just run with it from there. Look, things I liked about it. I thought the kills were really enjoyable.
I didn't like that. Well, okay, you know the one with the truck? There's one with the truck, which is particularly gory.
Yes.
I'm like, what? See, this is that's what took me out of it more and more. It's a horror.
Yeah. Well, and I understand.
And I don't like the horror thing, but I get you liking it.
Yeah. And I thought they really went for broke with it. Like, they didn't bitch out with the kills and the like. They were gory, good fun.
Really didn't bitch out on it. I think they pushed it.
Really uncomfortable scene involving an eye. Again, won't say
anything
more
than
that.
Oh, God, that was just. I didn't like it at all.
But if it can make you feel that.
Yeah, then I know.
It's trying to make you uncomfortable.
Why I shouldn't see horror movies. I'm glad you saw Annabelle. Imagine how pissed I would have been at that thing. So
I think in the overall scheme of things, you might have liked Annabelle.
It sounds like yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I think you probably would have liked it more than this. Hard as that is to believe.
Possibly. I would have been bitching and moaning, though, just as the same. So that's fine.
This is the day ending in Y, right?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So, you know, I mean, it's look, this is, for you, this is a horror movie. They shouldn't have said superhero or anything. It's a horror movie.
No, it's fine to say. I think I probably could have pushed it a little bit harder. It was certainly going to be dark. It was always going to be dark. But yeah. I think the people who didn't like it thought exactly what you're saying, which is this could have been a much more in-depth psychological look at
yeah.
How you break bad.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
It was just, no, he's bad. And how bad is he going to go? Well, the answer is pretty fucking bad.
I suppose it was executed fine. Like, I didn't laugh at any scenes going, that looks stupid or whatever. Yeah.
I thought it was shot well. I thought, I'm not sure any of the actors were amazing. The kid's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
He gives crazy. Like, Elizabeth Banks, they really did
what
pull down her attractive looks and make a very... everyday person.
Well, she's a housewife. You know, she's a Midwest housewife or whatever, you know. So I get that. Well, I will tell you something that I'm noticing.
But she's also a real idiot. Her character is a real idiot in this movie.
She's a mom, I find. I think that like it became what was interesting. The one thing about the movie was that when everyone was saying, hey, including the dad, was like, hey, this kid's fucked up, hey, because look at all this shit he did. She's like, my son isn't fucked. She's like that mom, you know? And I'm like, even though she knew.
Initially, it was fine. The further the film went, the harder it became to...
Well, it's, yeah. Look, I will tell you something about these horror movies that I'm noticing as a trend. Not that I see a lot of them, but the ones that I've seen, right?
Yeah.
The ending where things go completely south and then it just stops, that's kind of a thing that's happening now. You don't see any redemptive arcs a lot in just a horror movie. It's purely for superhero movies. Where in superhero, like, oh, the good guy does sort of win. So, I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. I guess that's a good way to end things, but I'm used to it now. Like, I'm used to, okay, it's just all going to go to hell, and that's that, you know.
Not every film ends.
Remember the Joss Whedon one? The one with Chris Hemsworth in it?
Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods, right?
Yeah.
So that ends where it's like, yeah, the world's about to end. That's how the world
horror
ends.
Horror movies are more likely to end on a nihilistic note than any other genre.
Yeah.
By nature of definition of the film.
Possibly, but like that, I'm now used to. I'm sure everything's going to go to hell here. No one's saving anyone, and it just goes down. And you know me, I don't like that shit. So I know. Look, it's a fine enough movie. It's a fine enough movie if you like horror. I didn't so much, so it gets a 55.
Okay, it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's fine. It was well made. It was well made for what it is.
Yeah, it's also a pass for me. I gave Annabelle 60. I'm giving this one slightly more. I'm giving this one a 62.
Oh, you like this one more? Only slightly more. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I think it had a lot of problems. I didn't think the acting was that good. I didn't think I didn't think anyone's character was that well drawn.
It's
almost the opposite to Annabelle. We really spent a lot of time building up this character, so you gave a shit about them. I couldn't give a crap at anybody in this movie, including the mum.
The only guy I liked is the dad, I think, because like he was, you know, he actually wasn't lying to himself about shit that was going on.
Yeah, and even he was
I know, he wasn't necessarily likable, so I don't know. It was a fine movie.
Yeah, exactly. I would agree. I give it a higher score for Wayne just purely because of my horror leaning
sensibility. If you like horror, go see it.
Oh, in fact, it's gone now at a cinema, so wait for download streaming. Absolutely, sure. Do check it out. Then if that's your bag, and I understand that why you wouldn't have bothered maybe at the cinema. That said, it was a good looking film. It was well shot. Yeah, nice cinematography. So
well produced.
Yeah. All right, that's the two reviews today. Short, sweet, and to the point. Both all recommends as far as we, the Countdown, are concerned. If you'd like to let us know how wrong I got these two films, how closer to right Wayne is.
No, they're more likely to disagree with me.
You hit us up on Twitter at TheCountdownPC, via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, through Podbean, where we host our show, or on our website, ccradio.com.au. We can check out some other great shows that are part of the network as well. And finally, our Facebook listener community, which is where Wayne and I hang out the most and interact with the fans. All right, that's it for this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Hit us up Tuesday for the main episode. Countdown then. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And it hasn't been featured today, but this has been The Soundboard.
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat fuck.
Crap.
See ya next week.
See ya. Welcome to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. This is our feature review. We're actually doing two horror-ass horror combos for you. Actually, one horror combo with two horrors in it. My name is Wayne.
Wait, what? My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast where we, this week, count down two films. No, fuck, what am I talking about?
Do
you
want to start again?
Yeah, please. Okay. Fuck.
Sorry.
No, it's my bad. I got thrown.